Open mine eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Open mine eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine, love of my life, I am crying. I am not dying, I am dancing, dancing along in the madness. There is no sadness, only
like to invite you to a soul level encounter. Music has an incredible ability to proclaim the soul's language beyond what mere words can speak. That's what we seek as we invite our guests to share their song of the soul. You will hear the music that has charted the steps of their spiritual journey, that has provided a touchstone in the soul's dark night and sung the heart's awe and joy when come to the light. Over the next hour, you will be a witness and companion to our guest's spiritual path and sacred testimony. Welcome to Song of the Soul.
Giving shelter, follow your heart, love will find you, truth will unbind you, seek out a song of the soul.
My guest today for Song of the Soul is Connor Lynch. I met Connor at a candlelight vigil on Veterans Day, sponsored by Veterans for Peace. Connor is a senior at Eau Claire Memorial High School with a passion for punk rock music and a dedication to living out his values, things like his opposition to war and violence, and his personal commitment to respecting his own body and well-being. Hey, Connor, thank you for taking this time to be with me for Song of the Soul. I know it's the end of the semester for you. How did that go?
This is the first semester of the last year I'm going to be in high school and looking forward to graduate.
Do you have plans for what you do next year, or is that just too far in the future?
I had a college in mind that I was looking at, but right now I'm having a lot of trouble getting the portfolio together, and I really have no idea where I'm going to end up this time next year, so I'd have to say my plans have kind of fallen apart.
Do you have general aspirations, what you want to do with your life, where you want to go? I mean, do you just want to stay in Eau Claire or any ideas like that?
I'd like to get to a bigger city and probably take my interest more into the arts. I'd like to do some filming or something with music or anything artistic that would just kind of keep me inspired. And I think I'd like to get out of Eau Claire, definitely, but not too far. I'd like to be able to come back and visit.
Have you lived here all your life? Do you have family here, brothers, sisters?
I was born and raised here. I have one brother. I live with my parents, my mom and dad, and I have uncle, aunt, and their kids are living here too.
Your main interest in music is in the area, I think, of punk rock. Did you get that from your parents?
Definitely not from my parents. They really don't agree with my musical choices. I used to listen to more of a variety of kind of like beatnik hippie music, I guess you'd say. I used to be a big Bob Dylan fan more when I was in junior high school. And at the time, they didn't really like that all that much either. But since I've kind of changed my musical taste, they kind of asked me, you know, why don't you listen to Bob Dylan anymore? And I just like, I dig loud and fast, and that's pretty much all I listen to.
Do you make music yourself, or are you connected with folks who do?
Definitely friends with a lot of musicians. I was in a band, kind of a joke punk rock band, about a year ago. We were called the Virgin Altar Boys. We had like four shows and we totally sucked every time, but I don't know, it was fun. I'd like to be in a band, honestly. I'd like to record for a band or, you know, be a band manager or do something with music.
You do play an instrument of some sort?
I try to play guitar. I dabble in it, you could say.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the values? Your parents didn't evidently like Bob Dylan, which I find a disappointment. What kind do they like? What do they lean? And what are their values you've been brought up with?
Well, I should probably restate that, because it wasn't so much they didn't like Bob Dylan, but at the time I was pretty young and I was into like the Grateful Dead and that, and what I think they kind of looked at it as kind of a drug scene, like a kind of a druggy hippie scene, which they didn't really approve of, but I don't think they really had a problem with it when they realized it was just kind of like a folk music or whatever. But I was raised Catholic, so my parents' values were religious and based off of the Bible and whatnot. I don't necessarily disagree with a lot of the morals and ethics that the faith I was raised in apply, but I'm not very religious now, or at all. I don't really believe in a god. I guess you could say I'm agnostic, but I still believe in living your life to the fullest and most of the morals and ethics that I was raised up with, I guess you could say.
I met you at a candlelight vigil on Veterans Day, sponsored by Veterans for Peace. What took you to that spot at that time?
Well, I'm very opposed to the war in Iraq, and I have some friends that are in the military right now, and I knew a few folks from school and from my old elementary school that were involved in the kind of the movement here in Eau Claire, and so I try to make it to every vigil or every rally and protest that I can, just to kind of do my part.
You say you've got friends in the military. How do they feel about it? How do they feel about Iraq from what you hear from them?
My opinion of them before they left was kind of a happy-go-lucky. They were more happy-go-lucky and just kind of like laid back, easygoing. And I think that they thought that instead of working real hard to go to college, they were scared of what happened after high school. And so the military just kind of seemed like an easy choice for them, because it gave you a place to live, it gave you something to do with your time, and instead of somewhat of a crutch, I'd say, instead of having to go find it all out on your own, you can just kind of go there and they will just kind of hook you up with all of the answers.
Do you get email or letters from them?
I've gotten a few letters. I've been approached by recruiters. Actually, one of my friends is a recruiter at the time right now, so.
So this is one of your friends who is a recruiter. Does that create any friction? I mean, you're clearly anti-war, and yet you hang with friends, or you connect with folks who are, I guess, pro-war.
I don't actually hang out with him that much anymore because he's stationed, so I'll see him every now and again. And we're more like acquaintances now. We just talk when he's at school or when I see him around town. But I've come out and just told him that he should stop recruiting, because I think it's wrong. I mean, I don't think that the government or the army or anybody should be able to push kids or even come up and talk to kids and try to get them to apply for this war, apply for Army, Navy, armed forces. I think it should be a totally voluntary thing that they would go to a draft office and sign up for themselves. I just think it's unnecessary.
How did you get to the point where you're opposed to the war? Is this your parents' view as well, or is this something that you developed on your own, and why is it bad?
My parents have always been really pro-peace, so that definitely rubbed off on me, and I think nationwide violence, as in war or any kind of conflict, is unnecessary pretty much at all times. I think there's always an alternative to it. So I think I've always just felt this way. It just always seemed like that ugly, nasty thing that's just unnecessary, that people really don't need to go through. But I don't know, it's just kind of the greed and the power mongering just is always there. So there's always going to be conflict. And I guess I'll just always oppose it.
What was your sense of the opinions of other students that you had in your classes, Connor, or maybe that you knew at school at Memorial? What was their general take on it?
Well, I had a lot of friends that were involved in the kind of movement for peace, more so my freshman year. My later years in high school, it kind of died down. People kind of forgot about it. I wasn't as active as I normally was, but I think definitely there was a lot of unity with kids and the movement. Kind of everybody was involved. Everyone was talking about it a lot. Most of my friends are opposed to war. A lot of my friends are democratic, liberal thinkers. There wasn't too much problems. There wasn't a lot of controversy.
Are there groups that are active at Memorial that you've been connected with? I don't know, Amnesty International or other groups like that?
I was with Amnesty International, our Glass Club at school freshman year, and Young Democrats for 2 years. I don't think I'm officially enrolled in PSA, but I've been to a lot of PSA as Progressive Students of America. I've been to a lot of PSA protests and vigils, and that's what the vigil was, I think, the other night.
Let's start talking about your music here. Now, you're really into punk, and I was surprised when you asked me about this interview. You asked if you could bring stuff on vinyl, which is a little bit more difficult, porting it over to the computer to edit it together. Do you have a lot of vinyl in your collection?
I have about as much vinyl as I have compact discs. I probably have about 100 records of punk, not including, like, I have probably like 200, like, Foreigner-esque records, like my parents' records that are just laying around. But probably 100 punk records, punk and hardcore, which is really small compared to some of my friends.
It strikes me that you're a bit of a connoisseur. You could tell me that in order to find a certain album here, you had to go to the Twin Cities and find the disc of it, and you know what year they're released in. Have you studied the punk movement overall, its entire history, or where it went to, or where it is?
Well, it really interested me when I kind of first started listening to it. I think the first bands I really started listening to that were, like, considered punk would be probably Iggy Pop. I started listening to The Misfits. This was, I think, at the end of my freshman year of high school, I started listening to, like, Iggy Pop and The Misfits and Black Flag. Actually, I got my first Black Flag tape when I was in, like, sixth grade, I think. I got it from a garage sale, and it was this tape that, like, was just loud and fast and edgy, and I was always kind of afraid of, like, playing it around my parents because they were just kind of saying stuff that I wasn't too comfortable sharing with my parents at the time. And since I've read a few books, there's a book called American Hardcore. It's about the hardcore movement from the late 70s to pretty much the end of the 80s, and that's where a lot of the information comes from about the whole scene. Oh, there's a lot of different scenes around the country.
What would you describe as the central vision that's involved in this music? What is the central value system? I don't know. What is it really about?
I think it's pretty much about free speech, free living. A lot of people say that it's about anarchists, the anarchist music. It's an anarchy kind of belief system, which is, I guess, in a way true, but it's really just about freeing yourself from becoming just another person in the system, just another suit and tie, working at a job that he hates, going home to a family that he's not satisfied with, and basically just living true to what you believed in when you were younger.
Do you personally have fears about being dragged into that kind of system, or how are you setting up your life so that doesn't happen to you?
I'm definitely afraid of it. I hope I don't lose my values as I grow older, which I don't think is going to happen, but I've seen it happen to a lot of people. It's just kind of hard, I think, in the society that we live in, to live somewhat under the radar, live without maybe a television, or live without a high-paying job or a car. And at the point I'm at now, I'm not out of the house, so I haven't really experienced the real world yet, but I'd like to think that I could do without a lot of things that society and the media and everything tells me that I need. I mean, I don't really think that I need a certain religion. I don't think I need a certain set of, I mean, you need values, but I don't think I need a certain set of, like, Christian values or social values. I mean, like, I think a lot of social values kind of reflect on old beliefs, and I just don't think there's any place for that now. I think that we need to set up a new set of values that are more about kind of idealism and thinking for yourself and kind of new beliefs like that.
Well, let's start in on the music that you've picked out. The first one you've picked is a song called Public Opinion, and it's by Urban Waste. What can you tell me about the group Urban Waste?
Urban Waste was from New York City, early punk rock scene. The only record that they have is they recorded a EP in 1982, I think it was. It's really kind of garage band sounding. It doesn't sound like it's recorded too well, but they're actually pretty influential to a lot of groups after them. They're really fast, really loud, really snotty. Stuff that wasn't heard back then. It was brand new for its time.
And about what year would that have been?
I think they probably started, the record was recorded in 82, but they probably started like in the 70s, like probably 79.
And Connor, why did you pick this particular song as part of your Song of the Soul? What's it mean in terms of your values or as your life goes?
the song speaks about not wanting to be called a punk, not wanting to be called, it says, don't tell me I'm a punk, don't tell me I listen to hardcore, don't try to label me. And I think it's just saying that people stereotype people, they lump a bunch of people together, and that's just not fair, because everybody's individual. It doesn't matter if you listen to punk rock or if you listen to, like, the Beatles. You're still an individual. You shouldn't have to be lumped into a scene. You shouldn't have to be lumped into a label.
If you avoid being, I guess, lumped into or whatever, how do you find community? How do you find support for your way of life? How do you find support for your values?
Well, I think that there's a difference between finding a kind of person that thinks like you and becoming the same as the person that thinks like you, because no matter what, people are going to think differently. And I think that's what the whole punk movement was overall about, is everybody having their separate beliefs but being able to get along in spite of those. I mean, kind of having a sense of unity but then having a sense of individuality.
Have you been able to find those kinds of people, Connor? Have you found friends who you think like you do, who hold these kind of values, and I guess who work to support you mutually in finding your right way in life?
I'd say definitely. My group of friends is really open-minded. I'm probably the only one out of them, or one of the only ones out of them, that's really into this kind of punk rock or this kind of music. But we share the same values. We share the same kind of way of thinking. Even if some of our ideas of, you know, the way things should be, it might be a little bit different, we still have, like, the common courtesy to respect each other in that way and just kind of be around each other without ever having conflict, because there's, like, that level of respect and that level of understanding.
Well, let's listen here to Public Opinion by Urban Waste. Connor, can you tell me about some of the other values that you hold besides being anti-war, being individual? How do you react to oxygen bars in town? How do you react to transportation? Or just yesterday there was a vote about opening up the Alaskan National Reserve for oil drilling. What other values do you have?
I'm definitely against needless consumption. Having to go to an oxygen bar and I don't even really know what they do. They inhale pure oxygen to get some kind of buzz or high. I just think it's ridiculous. I think it's unnecessary. The oxygen bar that opened up used to be a record store, and that almost makes me sick. So, I think that people need to, well, for one thing, with the oil crisis, we need to find a substitute for oil. We need to find a substitute for gasoline. If it was up to me, I would have no more cars. That's pretty radical thinking, and it'd probably make life a lot harder for a lot of people. But I think that's how much of a change that the society and the world needs to go through, because the way we're going right now, we're consuming at such a level that it's going nowhere but down. We're going nowhere but ultimately destruction of the way that we live. Our whole human race is pretty much doomed if we keep it up. I'm definitely very against racism, sexism, sexual profiling. I'm very against homophobia or anything like that. It's ridiculous that in the country that we live in now, where we have the right to pursue happiness, we can't marry whoever we want because we're living on a old set of morals that were founded by people who own slaves. It's just kind of ridiculous to me, I think.
You are raised Catholic, Connor. Have you experienced other churches, other ways of thinking within the religious community? Or have you experienced people outside of Catholicism?
Not too much. Really, I think it's just kind of because of where I live. I mean, Eau Claire, Wisconsin has not the most diverse religiously. There's definitely a lot of Christians here. A lot of people know who Jesus Christ is. I mean, it's very rare that I come across somebody who doesn't know what a rosary is or doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, which is, I think, kind of sad, because I'd really like to be somewhere more diverse, and I don't really think it matters what religion you come from. I think it's just the ideas that you hold from that religion. But I definitely would like to see some more culture. The only different religions I really am around is just friends that are, you know, Jewish or Hindu or whatever the religion would be. So pretty much no, I'm not experienced with a lot of different religions.
Well, Connor, let's turn to the second song in your Song of the Soul, called Young Until I Die by 7 Seconds. How long did the band last?
I think they started around 82, maybe earlier than that, and they are still around today. So they've been, you know, around for 20 years. They just released a new album last year that was, I don't think they're as good as they used to be. I mean, once you release that many albums, your sound definitely changes. I'm definitely more of a fan of the older sound. This record, I think it was called Old School, was the third newest record they released. So it's definitely one of the newer ones, but I think this is the last one where they really sounded good. Not a big fan of their newest stuff.
And what can you tell me about the band?
I don't know a whole lot about this band, but they were a straight edge band, a youth crew band. Youth crew meaning in their scene there was a lot of unity. It's almost kind of like a gang mentality, but without the violence. It was more a lot of kids, maybe underprivileged kids, who would get kind of picked on or beat up by other people at school or outside in the community, would kind of get together for more of a protection thing. They call them youth crews. There's another example of like a youth crew band, probably one of the most popular youth crew bands, would be Youth of Today, which was a New York hardcore band. Youth crew bands would usually dress similar. I know now, like, youth crew bands, there's a fashion that goes about with it. Like, right now, it's kind of like you wear jerseys or gym shorts, sneakers. In the 80s, you'd wear, like, a shaved head, X's on your hands. You'd probably wear boots, maybe a certain color or something.
What kind of values did these straight-edge bands advocate?
They were anti-drug, anti-drinking, anti-one-night stand. They're about positive thinking, because a lot of the bands at the time, I think just a lot of the communities that they're raised in, which is the same today, in my opinion, is, I mean, what do the kids do on the weekends? They go out and they drink, and the bands were just kind of sick of that, and they were saying, well, I'm not going to poison my body, and I'm not going to poison my mind anymore. And so the anti-drugs, no drugs, the anti-drinking is obviously no drinking. The anti-one-night stand is only having sex or sexual intercourse with somebody that you, like, truly love, and as opposed to just going out and looking for tail on the weekends or whatever they would do. So it's just kind of like a, not exactly the morals of their parents, but kind of a new set of morals that they were living by.
And how do you react to that part of their message? Is that important to you?
Yeah, I think it's a great message. I think that, I don't really know how someone could have a problem with that because it's just kind of about keeping yourself clean and being true to yourself.
I may be wrong, but my assumption is that most people at Memorial are into drinking, and I don't know how much they're into sex or just whatever, anti-drug. I don't know how common that is.
It's, I'd say, very uncommon. A lot of people look at the straight edge scene as kind of an elitist scene or kind of snob mentality. Really, it's not about that. There are a few bands that are elitist and are kind of snobs against people who, you know, would occasionally drink or have sex or, you know, do drugs. I don't necessarily think that... I wouldn't condemn anyone that did this stuff. I don't take part in that, but it's not a sin. I don't think... If everything in moderation, I don't think if they're not killing themselves, if they're not, like, really harming their bodies, I don't really have a problem with it, because that's just the way they do things. I mean, who am I to condemn them for that? But in general, high school, I think every high school is not... I mean, there's not a big straight-edge population. There's not a lot of kids that even care.
I guess what I was confused about was, what I think you said was, you don't see how people could have a problem with it, but yet I think you said it's pretty much the norm to not be straight-edge at your school.
It's definitely the norm to not be straight-edge. There's a few people that would say, like, oh, well, they don't drink, you know, they're pussies, or they don't do this, I don't like them, because, I mean, what's wrong with it? Why don't they try it? And I don't understand how you could think that way, because it's just somebody who's not putting chemicals in their body, and it just doesn't really make sense to me.
Well, let's listen to this song, Connor. Is there anything else you wanted to say about the message of the song?
Young Until I Die, I think, is about keeping your youthful mentality, like, just the feeling of you're invincible and you can do anything if you set your mind to it. Keeping that through your 20s, through your 30s, through your 40s, then into old age, just keeping that feeling of invincibility forever.
This is Young Until I Die by 7 Seconds. The next one you picked out, Connor, was Turn the Guns Around by Ill Repute. What can you tell me about Ill Repute and this song?
Ill Repute is one of the Nardcore bands of the mid-80s. Nardcore was kind of like somewhat of a youth crew. It was a scene, a group of bands. It was like a comp record. There was a Nardcore compilation. A couple other examples of Nardcore bands would be Aggression, Dr. No. It was a group of bands that were from the same... They were all friends, and they all kind of knew each other.
And what's the message of this song?
Turn the Guns Around is about a new system, a new way of handling things. there doesn't need to be war, there doesn't need to be violence. There just needs to be a new way of thinking, a new way of dealing with things. It's just kind of like a whole new order, new world order.
Can you tell me anything more about their musical style? I mean, it's all punk rock, right? Some variety. Anything specifically interesting about Ill Repute's style?
Ill Repute has, I guess you could say, basic hardcore style. I think that they have a lot of really cool guitar work. They do a lot more soloing than other bands of the time. I'd say they're a lot more like radical in their music. They're definitely a lot of skateboarders in the scene. They're like kind of a skate rock band. It just comes from more of a radical style of punk rock. More out there. They do a lot more bass solos and different levels to the music.
You commented early, Connor, that your parents, when you were listening to the Grateful Dead and to Bob Dylan, they're afraid of you getting mixed maybe in a drug scene or that kind of scene. Do your parents have the same preconceptions about punk rock, that people who are into punk rock must be into wasting themselves in some other way?
Yeah, probably. Or at first, I think they've learned to kind of deal with it, but I think they thought that, well, I mean, I can understand it with the whole Grateful Dead and Bob Dylan scene, because there was a hippie scene, and what do hippies do? They get wasted and forget about their problems. But the whole punk rock scene, I think there was more of a concern that it was violent. Because when you go to a hardcore show, you go to a punk show, you're going to see, I mean, it looks like it's violent. People slam dance and people are doing stage dives, and it looks like it's violent, it is a violent, it's a more aggressive style of music, but it's not aggressive in the sense of, oh, we're going to go beat each other up. It's aggressive in the sense of, we're here to get out aggression, and everybody knows each other, and everybody's there having a good time, so it's no one ever really gets hurt, and it's just kind of a release of negative energy through music, as opposed to going out and doing something violent or radical, you know, to someone you dislike or to something.
Well, let's listen here to Turn the Guns Around by Ill Repute, with lyrics that include stop the war, stop the killing, the only solution is an inside revolution. Here is Stop the Guns.
What a murder shit, this is for a cause.
Find nothing can be greater than a life so we lost.
You fight the bloody battles and doctrine not the way.
It works, isn't right, don't agree what they say.
Stop the war, stop the murder,
stop it up now.
Keep your head, keep your life,
stop it up now.
Stop the war, stop the murder,
stop it up now.
Keep your head, keep your life,
stop it up now.
Okay, for the next one, we're going to go back in evolution a bit to the Cro-Mags, and they're going to do a song called Hard Times. What's it about, and what are they about?
The Cro-Mags were mid-80s, or early 80s, mid-80s. Actually, they're still around today. Skinhead band, hardcore skinhead band. They're from New York. They would play at CBGB's a lot. They definitely had a crew. There was kind of a crew gang mentality about them. There's a lot of different skinhead crews in New York at the time. In this song, the message is more about pick yourself up, get yourself together, get through the hard times that you're going to face, because they're always going to be hard times. It's not like your problems are going to go away, so you better be ready to face them every day of your life. More positive song for the Cro-Mags, I think, lyrically, anyways. They're not talking about kicking any heads in or, you know, anything violent like that, but it's kind of a rare commodity for them, I'd say.
You know, when you say the name Skinheads,
I always thought of that as kind of racist and, you know, the Aryan nation type of point of view. Were there two different groups of skinheads, those that were violent and actually advocated violence and those who were just singing it?
There's a lot of different kinds of, like, skinhead per se, skinhead mentalities. There's, like, a fascist skinhead, which would be like a neo-Nazi, you know, whatever. They'd do their whole fascist, racist stuff. But then there'd be, like, another example would be a sharp, which would be a skinhead against racial prejudice. And these would be the guys that would kind of be like a gang crew. And it's not like they weren't violent, but they were just violent towards the racist skinheads, per se. And there's other skinheads at the time. There was a branch of Jewish skinheads that were... It's basically like for every group of people that gets picked on, there was a skinhead group that kind of rallied together and protected each other from getting picked on. And in the 80s and these different scenes.
You know, I'm kind of amazed to think about this, but I guess these bands are all playing, or a lot of this music was recorded before you were even born. For me, it's long, you know, it's 15, 20 years after I've graduated from college that a lot of this came out. Do you also like music that came out within your lifetime?
Yeah, I do. I definitely do. There's a, like, the scene right now is okay. I go to shows a lot in the cities. Sometimes in other places. People say that punk rock and hardcore is dead, which in a way it is. The roots of hardcore, the beginning of it, is definitely dead, and that definitely died in the 80s, but it still lives on. I mean, a lot of the scenes are just kind of repercussions of the scenes that were around back in the 80s, and the bands are still very popular. You'll still see people wearing Black Flag shirts, and Black Flag hasn't been around for a long time. It's just a reflection of the scenes that were around before.
Let's listen here to Hard Times by the Cro-Mags. Given that you're a senior in high school, I guess I'm not surprised, Connor, that you choose a song called I'd Rather Be Sleeping. That's certainly a point of view that my son has, who's just a couple years older than you are. This is by DRI. So what's I'd Rather Be Sleeping about?
From what I get from it, DRI is a lot of times really hard to understand just because they're so fast and they're so brutal in their music. I think it's about just living in a world that's totally depressing. I mean, living in a world where on the TV you see death and destruction and greed and misery all around you. And I mean, when you go to school, you see just, you know, people that are totally blind to what's going on around them. And I mean, all this stuff just kind of presses down, and you'd rather be sleeping in your bed than have to kind of interact in a world that just sucks and is totally negative.
And how much of that is your point of view? How much of it is that you really feel frustrated and depressed by the world?
I'm frustrated a lot. I mean, a lot of things get me down, and a lot of times I would rather be sleeping than be interacting, but I'd rather see it more as something that can be overcome, maybe not totally fixed, because right now I'm kind of at a point where I think that a lot of hope is lost, but if I can go out and maybe stand on a corner with a sign or, like, change somebody's, you know, views myself, I feel like I'm doing a part, and that's fulfilling to me. So it's kind of like, if I'm trying, then I'm fulfilling for myself, and I don't really have to worry about, you know, the rest of the world. I can kind of overcome the depression, I guess.
Well, let's listen here to I'd Rather Be Sleeping by DRI. To some degree, Connor, I'm a little bit afraid to ask about the next one. It's by a group called Suicidal Tendencies, and I think it's one thing that every parent fears is suicide by their kids. The name of the song is Institutionalized. What's it about?
It's about teenage depression, I'd say. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek written. DRI comes from L.A. They have a lot of ties with the Dogtown skate movement. They were just kind of like a skate rat, surf rat, kind of a radical L.A. band. A lot of their music is politically charged. There's a song called I Shot Reagan. A lot of politics in their songs. This song is kind of a reflection on the blandness and the depression of teenage lifestyles. Kind of ideally the teenager that never questioned what his parents were telling him, but he was still depressed in some sense. And with him being depressed, his parents think he's doing drugs. They think he's, going to hurt somebody, but really he just kind of has some problems internally. And they can't see that because they've never taken the time to look. It's just kind of a reflection of how neglectful parenting and just kind of the struggle of mixed up teenage life, I think.
Well, let's tune in and listen to it. This is Institutionalized by Suicidal Tendencies.
Sometimes I try to do things and they just don't turn out the way I want it to. And I get real frustrated. And it's like I take my time and I try real hard. No matter what I do, and no matter what I try, it never works out. It's like I concentrate on it real hard, but it never works out. It's like I need some time to figure these things out, but there's always someone there going, hey Mike, you know, we've been noticing you having a lot of fun lately, you know, like, maybe you should talk about it, you'll feel a lot better. And I go, no, it's okay, I'm having some problems, I'll figure it out myself, just leave me alone, I'll figure it out. And they go, why don't you talk about it, you'll feel a lot better. And I go, no, I don't want to, just leave me alone, I'll figure it out myself. Keep on bugging me, and it builds up inside. It builds up inside. You gotta be institutionalized. You come up here with bunch of eyes. You won't have any say. They'll bring what you didn't see the way. I'm not crazy. You're the one that's crazy. You're driving me crazy. They stick me in an institution. Said it was the only solution. Giving it a perfection of protecting from the enemy myself. I was sitting in my room. I was like scared at the walls, thinking about everything. I was thinking about nothing. And then my mom came in, and I didn't even know she was there. And she called my name and I didn't hear her. And then she starts screaming, Mike, Mike. And I go, what? What's the matter? She goes, what's the matter with you? I said, nothing, Mom. She goes, don't tell me nothing. You're on drugs. I go, no, Mom, I'm not on drugs. I'm okay, I'm just thinking, you know. Why don't you give me a penalty? She goes, no, you're on drugs. You're crazy. Normal people don't be acting that way. I go, Mom, I'm alright, I'm just thinking, you know. Why don't you like give me a Pepsi? And she goes, no, you're crazy. All I wanted was a Pepsi. Just one Pepsi. And she wouldn't give it to me. Just one Pepsi. Give one cheer with the seeds. Have it back to the next day. Drink you up because the lazy is your word to help the crazy. I'm not crazy. You're the one that's crazy. You're driving me crazy. They stick me in an institution. Said it was the only solution. Giving it a professional to protect me from the enemy myself. My dad came in, they pulled up a chair and they sat down. They go, Mike, we need to talk to you. I said, okay, what's the matter? They
Well, me and your mom, we've been noticing lately you've been having a lot of problems, and you haven't been acting like yourself. And we're afraid that you're gonna hurt somebody, and we're afraid that you're gonna hurt yourself. So we decided that it would be in your best interest if we put you somewhere where you can get the help that you need. And I said, wait, what are we talking about? We decided my best interest. How can you know? How can you say what my best interest is? What are you trying to say? I'm crazy? When I went to your school, I went to your churches, I went to your institutional learning facilities. So how can you say that I'm crazy? You say they're gonna fix my brain and leave me suffering in my pain. By the time they fix my head mentally, I'll be dead. I'm not crazy. You're the one that's crazy. You're driving me crazy. They stick me in an institution, said it was the only solution to give me the professor of protecting from the enemy myself. It doesn't matter, the insurance money's about to run out anyhow.
Okay, the last song you picked out, Connor, for your Song of the Soul is Salad Days by Minor Threat. Who are they? What's this song about?
Minor Threat was a straight-edge band from Washington, D.C. I think they lasted till 1986. I think that's when this record was recorded. The song's about kind of an old man, per se, looking back on the beginning of his career, his marriage, his first child. He's kind of looking back on somewhat of a boring life that he feels wasn't that fulfilling, and now his son's older, now he's older, and he's just kind of bored. Minor Threat was really about living your life to the fullest, not poisoning your body, and not conforming to the norms of society, not being that businessman with the suit, you know, if you didn't want to be. Of course, there's going to be people that aspire to be that, but it's just something that not everyone has to be. And, yeah, DC had a pretty vast scene. It's really well known. Minor Threat is one of the bands that got really famous from the 80s punk rock scene. Like, anybody who listens to punk rock will know who Minor Threat is, and a lot of people who don't really listen to punk rock know who Minor Threat is. Ian McKay, who was the most well-known member, has been in many other bands. He was in the Rites of Spring. He was in an Embrace. Right now, he's in a band called Fugazi, and they're still playing today, and they're pretty well-known as well.
I take it that in this song, they're talking about how boring it is looking back and wasted time and how maybe you should have chosen a different path, or that maybe you should make sure you don't choose an unfruitful path.
Yeah, I think it's a realistic fictional story in the song, and it's also a message to people. It's kind of saying, like, seize the day now or you're going to regret it later. I mean, make the choices that you want to make because they're going to stick, and it's going to reflect on who you become later in life.
So we're going to listen here to Salad Days by Minor Threat. We'll be right back. Connor, I want to invite you to add one more song to your Song of the Soul. I certainly was a Bob Dylan fan along the way, and you mentioned listened to a fair amount of his music along the way. Is there any song of his that stands out for you that was maybe influential or impressive to you as you went through that phase?
I used to love the song Like a Rolling Stone. I mean, it was a great song to me. It spoke about the times, and it's just a great American folk tune. What punk rock is American folk as well. Maybe not the same as Bob Dylan's acoustic style folk rock, but in the sense that Bob Dylan's folk rock came out of the late 50s and 60s when there was war going on. Punk rock came out of the 80s when there was things to write about then too. So it's kind of, punk rock is another style of American folk.
I want to thank you, Connor, for being here today. Thanks for taking the time and introducing me to a lot of music I didn't know anything about.
Yeah, thank you very much. This seems like a great program.
So we'll finish off Connor Lynch's Song of the Soul with the song Like a Rolling Stone by Bob Dylan.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine. The bumps of dime in your prime. Then you, people call, say beware doll, you're bound to fall. You thought they were all kidding you. You used to laugh about everybody that was hanging out. So loud. Now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging your next meal. How does it feel? How does it feel to be without? But you know you only used to get juiced in it. Nobody's ever taught you how to live out on the street, and now you're gonna have to get used to it. You say you never compromise with a mystery tramp, but now you realize he's not selling it. As you stare into the vacuum of his eyes and say, do you want to make a deal?
fashion. Let other people get your kicks for you. You used to ride on a chrome horse with your diplomat, who carried on his shoulder a Siamese cat. Ain't it hard when you discover that he really wasn't where it's at? After he took from you everything he could steal, how does it feel? How does it feel to have you on your own? No direction, oh, like a complete unknown. Take a diamond ring, you better pawn it, babe. You used to be so amused at Napoleon in rags and the language that he used. Go to him now, he calls you, you can't refuse. When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. You're invisible now, you got no secrets to conceal.
You've been listening to Connor Lynch's Song of the Soul. Connor is a senior at Eau Claire Memorial High School, obviously with a great passion for punk rock music. You can listen to this program again, hear my other programs, and find more information, including the song list from this program, via my website at northernspiritradio.org. Song of the Soul is produced by Mark Helpsmeet. If you'd like to share your Song of the Soul with the listeners of WHYS FM radio, please contact me via my email address, helpsmeet@usa.net. That's helpsmeet@usa.net. And please join me Sundays at 11 a.m. for Song of the Soul. You can.